It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today at 12:30. We're going to meet with Dr. Skip Gallagher, UNO professor and NOPD watchdog. The recent reports about two investigations that were had on New Orleans police officers relative to them being found guilty of driving drunk and what the ultimate punishment or lack thereof imposed by the NOPD. We'll visit with Will Green at the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour, president and CEO of the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. And we'll talk about their Louisiana-driven annual report, the upcoming legislative session, what they talked about at their annual meeting. And they presented the first LA-driven annual report that monitors progress made over the last 12 months and provides information relative to same. At 11:30, Arthur Hunter, former Orleans Parish Criminal Court judge and candidate now, recently announced candidate for the mayor of New Orleans. We'll visit with him. Yesterday, we visited with Oliver Thomas. Today, Arthur Hunter, as we continue to try and get folks in here to talk about what they and what motivated them to announce their candidacy. The NOLA Coalition segment will be with Jay Hofstadler, Executive Director of the On Path Foundation. We'll talk about this group and what they are doing as it relates to the city of New Orleans. We continue to hear about housing shortages. New report, The Gap, a shortage of affordable homes by Housing Louisiana and the National Low Income Housing Coalition. We'll discuss with Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA, the results of that study and the failures of this administration in dealing with same. And we'll talk about that at length with Andronica. There was a poll that came out the other day, Rasmussen, relative to the views of Democrats, Republicans, Independents about the vandalism against Tesla. Really, the vandalism against the owner, Elon Musk. And the fact that he's involved in Doge, and, you know, we keep hearing an unelected individual that has the power to do this, do that, and everything else. Well, there's a whole lot of unelected individuals in the federal government that have a lot of authority and power to do a whole lot of things. We know that. We all know that. That's just the sound bite of those that are opposed to Doge, quite frankly. Are they doing it perfectly? I don't suggest that they are. It's a very imperfect system, you know, and sometimes you're going to make mistakes. But what's interesting is that this poll revealed something in society today that is really troublesome. Our willingness and our propensity for violence. The survey asked respondents, is vandalism against Tesla an appropriate form of protest? The Rasmussen poll revealed 61% of Democrats said no. 79% of independents said no. And 78% of Republicans said no. The problem here, though, is that that means that 39% of Democrats are okay with this. This is fair expression of their anger, of their frustration, as well as 22% of Republicans and 21% of independents. These are scary numbers. Because this is not your run-of-the-mill kind of vandalism, if there's such a creature, right? This is not normal stuff that we talk about. These are Teslas that are bombed with Molotov cocktails, riddled with bullets, defaced with paint, spray paint, windows smashed in, all kinds of scratching the vehicles with all kinds of profanity, all kinds of different symbols, right? The charging stations are being destroyed, dragged down the street, torn down, set on fire. And even while some of this is going on, the owners of the vehicles are in the vehicles. This is absolutely crazy that so many people in this country believe that this is an appropriate response and part of, I guess, political activism today. One has to wonder, where has the moral compass of this country gone to? I knew I would immediately get the text about January 6th. Everything that I'm saying today is the same that holds true then. It's all the same. That was a relatively small group of people. When you talk about the numbers here that are revealed in this poll, this is really interesting that this is what we would do. Of course, law enforcement's response to this is what it always is that we're going to catch you. We're going to prosecute you. We're going to throw the book at you, because the strongest tool that they have in their toolbox is actually the notion of deterrence, right? The fear of apprehension and incarceration. And maybe the quicker they can get these individuals to the through the system and into court, get them charged and get this process rolling, the better off we'll be. There were three individuals that have been booked thus far, and they're all facing up to 20 years in prison. For vandalism. Pretty steep. Hopefully they're successful. Something's got to give here. Whether it's, you know, this mantra of some folks saying you got to get in their face, you got to make them feel uncomfortable in restaurants, you got to do this, now it's okay to cuss each other out in order to get the clicks, right? We got to have the cute sound bites. We got to sound tough. The machismo era of society is back. In a very strong way, as though that's going to make a difference, if any of these cowards that partake in this language and otherwise are really going to move the needle one way or the other. If they ever took the time to actually view the video, they look like idiots. They're not going to get anywhere going down that path. But that seems to be vogue today. I don't know who actually appreciates that. Most people with a half a lick of common sense don't. The notion of decorum is gone, and all parties are guilty of this, of eroding that away. We have the gotcha mentality. It's all about sucker punching. If it's not a sucker punch, it's not even worth dealing with it because, you know, we're not going to get the clicks. We got to get the clicks, right? You got to get the clicks. It's all about the clicks. And everybody's guilty of this. Members of the media, everyone, got to get the clicks. It's all about the clicks. That's all that matters is getting the clicks. We're going to click ourselves into oblivion at some point. There are a number of folks, I was kind of reading a series of articles over this past weekend about radio personalities, TV personalities, and others that are saying this is all leading to a very dangerous landscape, very dangerous climate. There has to be something behind the clicks. There has to be truth. There has to be facts. There has to be evidence. Today, people don't really understand the difference between news reporting and opinion. This is an opinion show. This has nothing to do with news. I try to make it as educational as possible. I do my research on both sides of the issue. Try to have as many people on both sides. The problem with today's world is it's just so caustic, it's hard to get somebody from the other side to come on and talk about it. If they believe that you have a proclivity to a certain idea set or mindset, which it runs contrary to theirs, they're not very likely to come on. They don't like debate. We can debate in a very honest way. It's very healthy, quite frankly. Very healthy if you do it right and you do it respectfully. I have a lot of people on this show I don't agree with. I have a lot of people on the show that, you know, that don't agree with me, and that's okay. There's a whole lot of issues my wife and I don't agree on. Person I love more than anything else. It's okay. As long as we do it in a respectful way. But when this begins to manifest itself in physical violence, violence against property, violence against persons, and alike, this is a problem. And it will continue to be a problem. Right-sizing government, right-sizing private organizations, private corporations, right-sizing NGOs, right-sizing not-for-profits. I've actually been involved in the right-sizing of an NGO, the right-sizing of a public-private collaborative, and the right-sizing of an organization. These are healthy processes for the entity. The entity's interest always outweighs the individual. We've got this completely and totally upside down, where we actually believe that the individual is more important than the entity. Not ever. And the sooner that people come to the realization that they're not the center of any universe, the better off we'll be. It doesn't mean you don't fight for yourself. It doesn't mean you don't advocate for oneself. It doesn't mean you don't articulate your strengths and what you bring to the organization and the contribution that you bring, right? And the value proposition that you bring to the organization. But the reality is, it's just not simply just about you. We view objective data, we view subjective criteria all the time. Decisions have to be made. If we're going to resort to this, in the aftermath of every adverse decision that's made that involves everyone's life, more often than not in a negative way, then we're really in trouble. We are really in trouble. And there's no law enforcement agency that has the assets necessary to deal with really this kind of situation. If collectively this is the path that we're going down, is that leaders of organization making decisions about what's in the best interest of the entity and we resort to violence, we got a problem. And it's incumbent upon you and I to push back on this. It really is, because you could be the next person sitting in a particular model of car that maybe the CEO of the manufacturer of that automobile said something that people don't like, or took adverse action, or was right-sizing an organization, offshore jobs, inshore jobs. Who knows? Who knows what the decision may be? Modification to a pension plan, modification to benefits. How about folks that are fighting decisions by organizational leaders that say, we want everybody to come back to the shop? If the organization comes back, says collectively everyone has to come back to the shop, you go back to the shop. And if you're not happy doing that and doing it, then quit. I mean, that's just the way this works. I've been the beneficiary of broadcasting from home. The moment this company says, no longer, pack my it up and go down to the studio. On balance, there's a bunch of benefits that work for both sides. But that doesn't mean that the entity's interest still doesn't outweigh mine. I like the arrangement I have, but if they want to change the arrangement, they just got to say so, and it's done. Or otherwise, I need to go and find other employment. I don't have a particular right to this. It was interesting. I was reading an article about Gayle King this morning. So they moved her from the Rock Center, I think, or downtown by the Rock Center, to another studio that they have in New York City. And she's visibly upset because that is viewed upon as being a lesser than studio. And that was not her anticipation of the way that this was going to shake out as a result of her 1-year contract that she had signed. Now, the company's losing millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. They're involved in a bunch of cost-cutting measures in order to try and keep afloat, right? That's what you do on behalf of the entity. Well, she's going to stand in defiance of this because she wants to make sure that her dressing room and this and everything else appears in the same fashion as she had at the other location. Again, the classic example, it's not about you. It's about the entity trying to survive. Everyone has to make sacrifice. There's a whole list of sacrifices that are made by everybody, no matter what situation they find themselves in. And you sit down with management, you talk it through, and you decide where it's ultimately going to become. But you're not going to be the cog in the wheel. But think about this. If each and every one of these situations led to violence, to physical violence, where would we be? How are we going to deal with that? And if we're not mindful of what's happening here, this is could be the beginning of a very dangerous situation in this country. And it's incumbent upon you, me, and everyone to push back on it. And it really doesn't matter who the subject is, whether it's Elon Musk or anyone else. This is behavior and activity that we cannot tolerate because we are better than this. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Folks, one of the issues that most major metropolitan areas are dealing with is affordable housing. And there are certain criteria that they use in describing same and whether or not you qualify same as it relates to a percentage of your area median income. And here to talk to us about this most recent report entitled The Gap, A Shortage of Affordable Homes, a report by Housing Louisiana and the National Low Income Housing Coalition, is Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. Andronica, welcome to the show.
Andronica, can y'all hear me?
Are we there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, welcome
can you hear
to
me
the
now?
Show. Yes, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening.
So, Andronica, if you would, let's lay out the landscape and the backdrop of this most recent survey that was in report that was released.
Yeah, so this time we are working with our national partners looking across the state about the need for housing for hardworking renters and, you know, families that don't make as much money as they need to get everything going. You're talking about people who make minimum wage. You're talking about seniors who are getting by on Social Security. And so for those folks, there's about 184,000 households at that level here in Louisiana, and we don't have enough homes for them to afford to live in. So a lot of them are living in homes that they can't afford, that they're strapped to pay. They're staying with family, and so we need another 106,000 homes to meet that need. And that doesn't mean we need to build 106,000 apartments. Some of it is we can do things like invest. I was listening to one of the ads as I was waiting and talking about making homes more affordable by making them more energy efficient. Because when you calculate what affordability means, it's how much you pay in rent and how much you pay in utilities. So you could have someone living in a home or apartment, or in across the state, you know, people rent trailers that where the home is in decent shape and it's affordable, but the utility bills, because that home may not be as energy efficient as it could be, or it could have issues with its insurance, which is, again, because the home isn't fortified, it isn't built to the new code. And that way, and the insurance is sky high. So those two costs, utilities and insurance costs, get passed directly to renters. And it can make what might be an affordable apartment or house or trailer unaffordable. And so when we look at those numbers, we're talking about we need 106,000 opportunities.
Is it fair to say that these numbers are getting worse every year?
Not really. Actually, we saw a modest decrease for last year. Last year, we needed 108,000, and this year we need 106,000. So some modest increases, modest decreases, but not the big sweeping changes that we're looking for. I think we've got to be talking about energy efficiency. We've got to be talking about fortification to address insurance, because that's just going to continue to get worse if we don't get our arms around it. And so it is there's been some progress, some modest progress across the state in the last couple of years. We're worried about we're on the cusp of making some really big investments across the state, especially around dealing with utility issues and hoping we can continue that momentum. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. Is I think the point that you're getting at is that we're still looking for that big, the moonshot. We're looking for this big piece that's necessary.
Well,
106,000 is a lot.
Yeah, that's not necessarily where I'm going, because I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I'm curious as to whether we looked at those 2,000 individuals and really determined the why.
The 184,000. Oh, the 2,000 that came off in the last year.
2,000.
2,000 that came in last year.
And how that changed, I doubt very seriously we have. Maybe I'm wrong. But I also believe with our out-migration in this state, I think people are moving. And I think they're moving to areas that they have more affordability and more opportunity to increase the level of their wages. So I don't see that as a housing improvement, right?
Because
a lot of the characteristics of what drives rent, insurance, it's the same thing for homeowners. They have that challenge. Renters have that challenge because,
right,
as you pointed out, these costs appropriately are passed on to renters. These folks
that
rent property are in the business of making money.
That's right.
And we got to figure out a way somehow or another to deal with this, because a lot of what we do, not only in our city but in this state, actually requires the employment of low-income wage earners.
Right.
It's just the reality.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not saying it's a perfect equation. It's not, but it's the reality. And if we can't, I think you're going to see a lot of businesses shut down because they can't get employment. I'm not going to name the sandwich shop, but it's a very famous sandwich shop, Uptown New Orleans. Went there several weeks ago. Sign on the door, closed, not enough staff. What?
Yeah. Nope. And this is it's a challenge. It's a challenge. And you are right about the fact that we are seeing an out-migration. We are losing population as well here in Louisiana, more than any other southern state. And it's insurance, it's these cost issues. It's making it harder for people to stay. It's making it harder for businesses to operate. It's, you know, at the heart of the issue that we're seeing in the Orleans Parish School District. They're losing enrollment, and the rental kids who are renting in New Orleans are the lion's share of their population. They're struggling with affordability. They get a little bobble and they get pushed off the coil. We've got about 3,000 homeless children in Orleans Parish, 13,000 homeless children, school-aged children across the state. So we're if these families are struggling to keep the lights on, to keep the roof over their heads, it's going to be hard for them to accept staying here under these circumstances, especially if they have options to leave.
And it's the collection of all of this criteria that, you know, people that have seen the news reporting on some of the apartment complexes in the East and absentee owners. And, you know, you go in there and you see the most horrific conditions. You know, most people's dogs have a better living situation than a lot of those people do. And they, you know, I hear this all the time. Why would they stay? And my response always is, where do they go?
They go. That's right. Where are they supposed to go? Where are they supposed to go? Where are the options? And again, if there's the options are staying somewhere that's not great, but at least the roof over your head. A lot of people do that, and they're paying rent for that. That's the other piece that people miss. It's not like the slumlords are not acting out of the kindness of their heart. Oh, here, stay in my rundown property for free. They're staying in my rundown property and give me money, which is why this is such a big problem. And it's not just here in New Orleans. I don't think you and I talked about this when it came up, but last spring, 1,500 apartments were abandoned in Shreveport by their landlords. They were occupied, most of them. It was a series of developers and apartment owners, and they had stopped paying the water bill. They put up a notice one day and basically said, we're out. Check with the city because we think the water is about to get cut off. And City of Shreveport had to spring into action. Our partners up there had to spring into action to help relocate and find housing, new housing opportunities for those folks. And we think we were breaking down some of the numbers with some of the folks up there. We think part of the issue was, and again, those developers are not. They're not good actors for doing this in this way. But as you pointed out, they're business people. They looked at the numbers and said with the insurance costs, they couldn't make it work. So they walked away. They walked away. And we saw a similar issue here in New Orleans later last year when Michael's Development, one of the largest apartment owners in the country, $18 billion portfolio, said to the Housing Authority they no longer wanted to be involved in managing the Desire Housing Development, a development they rebuilt after Katrina that they had been involved in for over 20 years with an $18 billion portfolio. They said the operating costs, all of this stuff is too much. We're walking away. And that's a huge concern. Now, they did it, quote unquote, the right way because they got involved with the partners and gave them notice and everything like that. But it's still people are saying this business is not necessarily one we can be in here in Louisiana. And back to your point, that's a huge problem. Number one, to be a Louisianian, you got to live here. And number two, the businesses that employ Louisianians, the businesses that we utilize as amenities, as services that employ other people, it's all community. It's all interconnected. And if the frontline workers, if our essential workers, and a lot of people who make, you know, $7.25 an hour or $10 an hour are critical to some businesses, and those businesses are critical to our everyday lives. They need housing that they can afford.
You know, it's interesting. And then you have examples like in Phoenix, Arizona, the company, I think it's called Axum, that builds taser units. They've been in Phoenix since the beginning of the life cycle of that company. They just proposed, a huge development, increase in their capacity of their manufacturing facility. But they realized that because of housing costs in Phoenix, which I'm sure you know, it's incredibly high, they needed to provide housing for their employees. So they were going to build a housing complex for their employees as well. Well, the city and the neighborhoods said, no, you're not doing that. You know, you're not going to bring all of these housing units on because we don't want them.
And, right.
You know, so you have the flip side now. Even when companies want to do the right thing, recognize the challenges, try and create a long-term solution to a problem that everyone's facing in this country, people are pushing back.
Right.
All right, we got to get to a break. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. Stay with us, folks. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. Andronica, you know, I hate to, let's try to move from being Debbie Downer to something maybe a little bit more positive. Do we see anything on the horizon, especially here in the greater New Orleans area? So we're visiting with Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. We're trying to get her back connected to us here. We seem to have lost her, and we've been talking about this most recent report, The Gap, a shortage of affordable homes. It's a new report by Housing Louisiana, as well as the National Low Income Housing Coalition, that finds a national shortage of 7.1 million affordable and available rental homes for extremely low income renter households. Those with incomes that find themselves at the poverty level of 30% of their area median income, whichever is greater. You will recall that I continue to talk about this in the context of a lot of different policies that we engage in this country, where we have about 43 million people that live below the federally identified poverty level in this country. Andronica, I was asking before we lost you, is there anything on the horizon that's a little rosier than what we've been talking about so far?
So it depends on how this upcoming legislative session goes here for Louisiana. We've got to start talking about making real progress on addressing insurance so we can stabilize folks. Because, of course, the most vulnerable are the most vulnerable. But with this insurance crisis, we're losing population at every income band. People are choosing to leave. People are being pushed out. That's our big opportunity. And I think hearing from certainly the legislators, the governor, there's a desire to make some real changes with insurance issues and make some significant investments to address some of these issues. And we've got to make sure that we do it for homeowners and renters. So fingers crossed is the big thing.
When we bring it down to the local level, do we see anything here in the city? I know we passed this most recent legislation, council resolution, you know, about the housing trust fund. It seems as though there's a lot of categories that could be spent out of that.
Yep.
I find that kind of, in my view, diminishes the value of it, because I think it needs to be more concentrated, more strategic. But that's just one man's opinion.
So, no, yeah, don't disagree on this. We are also looking at the other funding that the city has control over, and the other agencies locally. What are they going to be investing and putting it together in a big pot to make sure that the trust fund dollars do get exactly like you're talking about, making sure that they are precise and that they are moved quickly. If we've got, let's say, round numbers, it's $100 million of CDBG and home funding and old ARPA dollars and other money that has been allocated for investment for housing, we got to get all of that stuff tracked. We got to get it all lined up. And then talk about where the trust fund dollars can go in more precisely to either catalyze some of those existing projects or new projects. As you were saying, again, prioritizing insurance has to be the order of the day. And then making sure there's other dollars that can wait a little longer, that are a little bit more patient, those dollars are effectively deployed. So we've got to do both and. You're right. We can't spread the dollars around on everything. We've got to say what's the biggest order of the day that needs to be addressed and invested in as quickly as possible.
Do you think there's a willingness to do that? Because that seems to be the friction that exists right now in this city, is the competing force, right, of focusing on basic city services, and I would put housing in that, right?
Right.
As opposed to new social services. I mean, you know, we see this competition all the time, and we don't ever seem to handle it very well, because I don't think there's enough dollars to be all things to all people.
I agree. I mean, I think that there certainly is a need to do it and to be disciplined about it. And we're trying to have exactly those conversations, and we got to have them with community. We've got to push our leaders to make the hard choices and then explain it and stand by those hard choices instead of being, you know, weaklings and saying, oh, we're trying to do everything for everybody. Well, you can't. You just can't. You've got to make choices, and you've got to own those choices. That's why we elected these folks.
Yeah. You know, and then you got federal policy that we're coming out of for 4 years, where we've had an in-migration into this country that has made the competition level for low-income housing even greater. I mean, and these are the things that drive me crazy.
Well, that hasn't been a big problem here in Louisiana. We haven't seen a big increase.
No, we are fortunate. We are extremely fortunate that that's not been the case here. You're right. It could be, though. In 6 months from today, it very well could be, you know, as more and more of other jurisdictions are kind of clamoring down on a number of those issues. You never know. I mean, just the change in our policy at the southern border. Now Canada's crying uncle, because they're seeing the migration patterns changing. And guess what?
They're crying uncle about a couple
not unlike us. They're not prepared for it. They recognize it. As always, truly enjoy the conversation. Andronica Morris, Executive Director of Housing NOLA. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Neil. Bye.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.